So here's the question. How do active people in the Des Moines area stay pain-free and live the active, fulfilled life that they deserve at any age? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. I'm Ryan Domeyer, and welcome to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Welcome back to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Dr. Ryan back here today with a special guest, the owner and head coach over at F45 in Ankeny, Kevin. Just the owner of F45, Kevin Von Carver. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
I got hooked up with Kevin, messaged him online. I've done F45 workouts before, so I was excited one was opening up in Ankeny. Dropped into a few classes, even taught here a knee workshop, which has been great. And I wanted to give a little bit about Kevin's backstory. He has an interesting story, not a traditional route into the exercise and fitness world. So I want to dig in, let him tell a little bit about that. So, Kevin, do a quick introduction. Tell me how you got into fitness. How did you get into it through high school and beyond?
So I am from the Des Moines area originally, born and raised West Des Moines, went to Dowling High School and then graduated from Drake University in 2019. So lived here for, you know, the bulk of 22 years. And then after I graduated with degrees in finance and quantitative economics, so, you know, not at all related to fitness, I moved to Connecticut and took a job as an investment analyst with a hedge fund. And I really liked the people I worked with, but I didn't see myself in that industry forever, and I did miss, you know, the Midwest, being close to friends and family. And fitness had always been a personal passion of mine through, you know, various kind of, you know, hobbies and pursuits up until starting this gym. And I learned of F45 both because the franchisor went public, you know, sold their stock for the first time summer of 2021, and there was a really big and successful, you know, fun F45 studio in Stamford, Connecticut. So I took a look at the franchisor as a potential investment, joined the studio in Stamford, and decided, you know, through my investment due diligence, I looked at the business model for franchisees, thought, you know, that made sense. I really like the workouts. You know, as a fitness guy, I could kind of identify with, like, why this has a, you know, a secret sauce that's pretty good. And there was not an F45 in, you know, some of the attractive markets in the Des Moines area, like your, you know, Ankeny, West Des Moines, Waukee, who knows, maybe even downtown. But so it was my ticket back to the Midwest to, you know, go into a new industry that I was passionate about, you know, helping people with their personal fitness and, you know, being on my feet and in a gym setting for my office hours, which was pretty cool.
Your passion is infectious. I would attest to that. I want to get back to something you said. You liked the workouts. I know you do a lot of different things for working out. Your current movement practice, we've talked about you doing, I think, some grappling. You've done some kettlebell work and now doing F45. Tell me what you like about even your current workouts and what you like most about the F45 workouts that gravitated you towards them.
Sure. I mean, so at a high level, I like the idea of functional fitness, you know, taking your body through a full range of motion, doing things that mimic, you know, sports or everyday life tasks, you know, stuff that's going to have a carryover to your life outside of the gym. So F45 really operates in that space. Then there's this game in, you know, any, like, exercise program between, like, consistency for the sake of, you know, progressive overload, and then variety for the sake of keeping things interesting. And the reason most people, you know, in my opinion, fall off of any given exercise program is they just get bored with either, you know, like, they're not having the same fun or excitement, or they're not seeing the results that they were, you know, expecting to see, and they get bored, and they stagnate, and they fall off. And F45 very intentionally goes to the, like, they're going to play with more variety, but still giving you exercises that are, you know, are great, going to have a good benefit for you, going to help you burn muscle, lose fat. And then, like, so that's the programming standpoint. And then group fitness as a whole, I also like, where you get, you know, you get to be in a community. That's a ton of fun, right? You get to see the same faces and the same trainers and start to make your friends. Those are people who are going to, you know, hold you accountable to keep coming. And also, in the group setting, you get to get, you know, real hands-on attention from, in F45's case, two good personal trainers, which, you know, is pretty tough to, like, if you want to get that at a normal gym, you have to pay for personal training sessions, which can be pretty pricey.
It can. Functional fitness is certainly a buzzword that's been around the last decade, especially in the fitness realm. Not my favorite term to use, functional fitness. Granted, I do use it because I think of squats, lunges, hinges. It's all functional movements. But the other thing you talked about was variety, of which I do love that, and even from the form of general preparedness. So that's what I think of don't go to the gym just to get better at going to the gym. Go to the gym for general physical preparedness, GPP, which means you go to the gym all week, and then turns out when you garden on the weekend, your back doesn't hurt.
Right.
When you throw your kid up in the air, you're like, oh yeah, I can actually still do that, and I'm not broken. That's what's one of the reasons I encourage people, or we really get to the root of why they go to the gym, is for general preparedness, so they don't get weaker as they go older, like most people do. And then you hit the nail on the head, and I couldn't agree more. We're certainly in the revolution of group fitness, especially post-pandemic when people sat at home for so long. Group fitness, I'll even use the term community fitness, because so many people I work with, they don't come to me because their shoulder hurts. They come to me because they can't go to their normal 9 a.m. workout class and see their friends that they're used to seeing. Therefore, their life isn't the same because they can't go see their friends at 9 a.m. just as much as they can't go get their workout in. So that's a huge thing, and I couldn't agree more with the group fitness model that's going on. The F45 is I obviously know the answer to this, but for people that may not be familiar, what's the F stands for? Functional 45. What does that mean?
Functional 45 minutes. So each class is 45 minutes long. Saturday mornings are an hour, but those are a little different beasts. But for the most part, you know, Monday through Friday and Sunday, 45-minute classes, and they are they're crafted to be ruthlessly efficient, which is another benefit I didn't talk about in my first answer. But as far as, you know, people who really value their time, like, and we're in Ankeny, it seems like everyone here has, you know, a job and 5 kids and, like, you know, just a whole ton of life outside of here, you know, getting in and out, having a, you know, like a class that starts on time, carefully crafted introduction, warm-up, and then getting into the workout right away, and then, you know, quick cool down after, in and out, 43, 44 minutes is a pretty big benefit.
I think that's a huge benefit, myself included. The people I've sent over, I knew they needed that. The other part of group fitness we didn't touch on was intensity. You will work out harder. You will put in more effort when there's more people around you to push you.
Right. There's a vibe that gets created for sure. In a room full of people, you know, you have the and you know, you can turn around and see the TVs that have the exercises on it. You walk in, you take a look at them, you go on autopilot, you feed off the energy of the trainers and the people, and it's that piece also helps with results.
So you touched on, you went from finance, you're now in the fitness and even business owner world, which is a whole different animal. We could do a whole episode,
right?
Just on the business side.
For sure.
What have you taken from your finance background, and even your, I know you are a numbers guy with some analytics, what have you taken and brought that to the fitness world? How did you take anything you learned from your past experiences in finance and brought them to now owning a gym and to your gym members?
That's a good question. As far as, like, my day-to-day, maybe just, like, an intensity, sort of a work ethic. You know, I was used to working longer hours and kind of, you know, if something needed to be done, like, prioritizing getting it done over, you know, a lot of other stuff. And so that, you know, that helps me here when you're a first-time business owner. There's a lot of work to be done all the time, you know, so not being afraid of that challenge. Another kind of a little bit more boring way that my finance background helped me out is, you know, I did not personally have, sitting in a bank, the capital to go and start an F45 franchise. So putting together a business plan and a financial model that could raise money from equity and investors and a bank funding was, you know, something I was pretty comfortable with too. And then being able to look at, like, the math around, you know, cost per lead, number of leads coming in the door, trials per lead, lead to member conversion, and then, you know, forecasting revenue and expenses and getting comfortable with, like, we are, you know, in a good spot, the trajectory we're on.
When it comes to F45 workouts, and a lot of the other coaches that I've interviewed over the past, you either fall into two buckets. They either do the class that they coach, or they have a whole separate movement practice that they do. what is your current movement practice? What do you do that challenges you the most from an exercise standpoint? Are you doing F45 classes? What do you do instead of F45 classes? What's your current movement practice, Kevin?
I'm all over the place. And in my, you know, like my history of personal fitness, I've always kind of been all over the place. But I do F45 classes probably 2 or 3 times a week. I love the Saturday mornings. Like those are, you know, some of my favorite workouts I get ever are the 1 hour Saturday mornings. We have a DJ in the corner, you know, just really intense, fun groups of people. I also do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu on the side, probably, you know, 3 times a week or so, at Des Moines Jiu-Jitsu downtown. And that's a, you know, that's a great group of guys. I can always appreciate, like, in anywhere, and, you know, there are a billion different types of fitness, but people that are true masters of their craft, and the instructors there are, which is, you know, great to be a part of. I like yoga. I'm a member of Power Life Yoga downtown, and that one has taken a back seat. You know, starting a business, get a lot more busy. I used to go 3-4 times a week, you know, when I was living here, and then now maybe I'm lucky if once, but I appreciate, you know, those principles and try to incorporate them when we're stretching here after class. I have my prized possession is a 97-pound kettlebell, so that sits in the on the floor of my apartment gym, and I'm sure, you know, my neighbors love the just chalky abomination in the corner. But sometimes, you know, when I'm short on time, a workout where I just set a timer for half an hour and see how many kettlebell swings I can get on, get in is pretty good. And that's probably average, you know, 1.5 times a week or so. And then I also like to incorporate heavy barbell lifting. And again, that's like, you know, you've seen a couple videos of me squatting, but if I can get, you know, some heavy weight on my back while you're pulling off the floor, just to maintain or mitigate, you know, loss of strength from all the other stuff I'm doing is a good thing. So yeah, all over the place.
Certainly all over the place, but a lot of different buckets to choose from. Mm-hmm. And what I took away from that was, yeah, certainly barbell lifting is a huge challenge. It takes all of your joints through their full range of motion. Same thing with yoga. F45 does as well, gets all of your joints moving and adds an intensity component that may not be there, but it does get your body ready to do jiu-jitsu and other things where you need to have a short burst of intensity.
Right.
Your body's trained for that. You're ready. The other takeaway I took from listening to that is it sounds like you're someone that likes to be coached. You're coachable. Is that part of your background in athletics, or why do you think you seek out help? You even mentioned that the jiu-jitsu place you go to, you love the coaching there. Is that something you seek out still, of being coachable, or is that from, where did you get that from, in athletics or other places?
Yeah, good question. I'm not really sure. This could be kind of a cheesy answer. I played high school football, and you know, even though that's like, it's not as high a level as college or professional, which, you know, we have a couple former college football guys on our coaching staff or in our member base. But like, we won state a couple times, and that was an atmosphere where, you know, you listen to the coaches and good things happen. So I'm not sure if that probably did play a part in it. But otherwise, like I said, you know, you can, like, people that are just no BS really know what they're talking about. You can pick up on that right away, you know. And then, like, when you're around people, and I'm thinking of my jiu-jitsu gym, I'm thinking of Power Life Yoga, like, when you're around people that have just, like, really practiced their craft and have a lot to share with you, you know, you, like, naturally just perk up and listen.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you can share that experiences with the other coaches that come here. Because I know you're not the only person that ever coaches here. You have a multitude of other coaches with different backgrounds, some former college athletes, some people that do personal training, some other people. And that's where group fitness is difficult to maintain, because it's hard to standardize coaching along the way. When it comes to coaching a group fitness class, is it... how does an F45 class look for someone that may not know? What's the standard? It's a quick warm-up. It's usually stations. Tell me what just a basic, I know it's varied every day. Mm-hmm. What's the general outline of the class look like?
So it'll start with, you know, we have this blue sled track over off the side. Everyone will line up there. The coaches will walk around and give a short introduction to, you know, the workout we're doing today and demo each station. And that takes couple minutes at most. Then we'll walk out on the floor for a short warm-up, at which point we'll, you know, assign people a station. That's where they'll start at. And then usually the workouts, you know, involve some movement from station to station, and like you said, you know, that depends on the you know, workout that we're doing that day. But then, yeah, you'd have like, you'd have work rest times, you'd have, you know, some number of sets per your station, some number of laps through the room or a subset of the room, and doing anywhere between like, you know, 9 and 27 different exercises that day.
Yeah, and then in and out, 45 minutes, it's quick, it's fast and efficient, that's for sure. Another question, because the fitness and nutrition world can get very interesting, and we can have a long talk just about the proper diet for a certain person, of which is always variable. Question I mentioned before that I would ask, what have you changed your mind about, even since opening F45 or even longer? What in the past have you thought one thing, and then the more you learned, you've completely changed your mind?
You know, that's a really good question. And I know you gave me some preparation for it. I've kind of been ruminating on the answer. But I think it's, you know, what optimization, like what your goal is for a workout, looks different for different people. So if I was always coming at, you know, if my approach was always like, we need to always, you know, try to add weight, or we need to always try and add intensity, or we need to always try and go faster. You know, that's a noble goal for some people, but not for everybody. You know, some people don't care if their, you know, hinge is perfect and just want you to leave them alone and like let them get their workout in. And then maybe you have to like, you know, swallow your, you know, whatever, and just, you know, let them do their thing as long as it's not risky. Or some people, you know, don't want to increase the weight because they don't want to get any muscular. And it's just like, that's, you know, that's someone's goal. So being cognizant that, you know, there are different things people are trying to, you know, get done when they're in a gym, and then, you know, respecting that. And like, there's not one end all be all for someone's goal in fitness. That's probably one thing I realized the most.
Yeah, you have a lot of members here, and they all have different reasons why they show up. Some people, it may be optimization because that's where they're at, and other people is just to get some movement in because they've been sitting at work all day and they just want to get a good workout in after work. I totally agree with that, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but in the world of fitness, I find people are almost getting information overload, and that might even go back to some data and finance in your background, but whether it's the trackers that everyone wears where they're trying to finish their rings, which is just an arbitrary number. Trying to optimize. They spend so much energy trying to count the number of calories they're burning, or whatever rings they're trying to get. Or it's almost like an information overload where they're trying to optimize all of this data around fitness, when really it comes down to, did you move today? Did you get your heart rate up for 30 minutes today? Those are the important metrics that I don't think people are in tune with. I don't know if you see that or not, or even in the world of nutrition, of people are really trying to optimize everything, and they spend so much energy trying to optimize everything. They don't get back to being in tune versus whatever their watch says versus what their body actually is in tune with and what they're striving for. Right. Do you see that in any of your members?
Yeah, I do. Every trial will start with a health and fitness kind of goal setting consultation with either me or my head coach. And this is kind of where we try to drill into, you know, what are someone's goals and, right, like, what do you actually want from us? So either, like, during those conversations or just any other conversations that happen, like, yeah, people that are, you know, really, really carefully counting calories, or they're worried if, like, you know, a certain food is gonna, you know, like, increase their sensitivity to insulin by like 2%, and it's just, those aren't, yeah, if you think about, like, you know, some good hard exercise, eating mostly whole natural foods, you know, eating them when you're hungry, but like not overeating, and if you're eating whole natural foods, you know, it's tougher to do anyways, just like do those things, sleep, you know, drink water, do those things, and that's like, you know, 90% of what you need, and then once you get there, we worry about like tinkering with that 10%. But it's just, yeah, thinking about the wrong things. You know, if you do those things right, then fitness becomes a lot easier, and you can, you know, not think about it as much and live the rest of your life.
And just showing up and working hard. Did you show up, and did you work hard? That'll get you a long ways.
Right.
Like we talked about earlier, I find a lot of clients who do work out by themselves, which is great. That's better than most other people who aren't. Their intensity isn't quite as high. The couple members I sent over, I knew they would benefit from the intensity because their workouts they have with their headphones on, they're not getting their heart rate up like I know their cardiovascular system needs.
For sure.
And they've even given me the feedback. They're like, yeah, it's great. I can just show up to class, turn my brain off, and not necessarily all the way off, but they're like, I don't have to think about sets, reps. It's all on the screen. I just follow along and work really hard when I'm in there versus their usual bodylifting workouts where they're just moving around. That's what you provide is clarity and a plan for them. I didn't ask if we could talk about this earlier, and I don't think you'll mind. Can you talk about your recent knee injury that you had and kind of your recovery process that you now told me you're at 100% from? Talk about how you hurt your LCL in your knee.
This was a jiu-jitsu injury that happened the last Friday of August of 2022. I was rolling around, tore my LCL. It was not the best. My leg looked like a cylinder for, a good couple weeks there. It was on, it was on crutches. I couldn't even really, flex my knee at all. And then that injury, healed slowly, but at about the pace I would expect. I forget the timeline for an LCL injury, but I was thinking I circled like 10 or 12 weeks.
Yeah,
or so.
6 to 8 weeks at least.
Six to 8 weeks. Yeah, I think I was like, okay, from the research I did, like 8 to 10 should be good. Started slowly incorporating other, things back into what I was doing. Right, and started with like, high and light box squats. Was doing some incline walking, and was like, generally good knee hab movements, like, walking backwards or some knees over toes stuff, like trying to do all those a little bit. And then the LCL healed. I could get into like a small pigeon stretch, which, put some pressure on the outside of your knee with like some pain, but not, too much, where I was like, okay, this is a problem. And then started putting squatting and deadlifting and, F45s and heavier stuff back into it. And then there was this pain that crept into, the inside of the middle of the knee, which, like, oh, what's this? That's not the LCL. And then there, you talked about, information overload. Like, there's so much stuff out there. And I was in a blender trying to figure out, like, what's going on here. And then it was, I texted you, came in to, get it looked at, and realized, you picked it up right away. It's like I had tight hip flexors and I had no hip internal rotation, which I didn't even really know what that was. And then got a few drills to, and then stretch the hip flexors, stretch the quads, work on hip internal rotation, work on glute medius activation, like all, little things. And starting to do all that in the midst of, starting at 45, which was probably extended the rehab timeline there a little bit. But then over the past 3 or 4 months, I got, got it back to a spot where, there's no pain in that knee, and I can do, full depth squats and start to add weight there, which is pretty nice.
Some big things I'll take away from that. LCL, for anyone that doesn't know, lateral collateral ligament on the outside of the knee. Just like rolling the outside of your ankle, he did it to his knee. Similar to how you provide clarity and organization to clients when they come in and aren't sure what to do to move, that is what I did. And maybe unlike some of my colleagues, I know a lot of my physician friends, chiropractors, other physical therapists, they shun Dr. Google because they think it's the worst thing ever. I'm the opposite. I'm all for it. You're a super smart guy, Kevin. I know you did your research. You looked at everything online to try to get a solution to your problem, and you were stuck. And I love when clients come and see me and they're informed, and that makes my job easier because I just need to provide clarity on the situation. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've tried this. That's not really important right now. Oh, you didn't try this. This is what we should be doing. After I analyze everything, I provide clarity and say, oh yeah, I saw online something about this. Oh yeah, let me either tell you why yes, we need to do that, or no, we don't need to do that. Let's spend our time elsewhere. So I love it when clients come to me informed and like, oh yeah, I tried some stretches on YouTube or Instagram. Awesome. What'd you try? What worked? What didn't work? I probably have an idea of what worked or didn't work. And sometimes they even say, that is the perfect thing for you to do. You just weren't doing it right. Do it this way. So getting clarity on your situation went from, yes, you strained your LCL, had a swollen knee like a balloon, had a compensation getting back from it where the inside of your knee hurt. After you realized what you needed to work on that I showed you, you worked on it, you put in the work to get it better, and then you send me a video of you doing your kettlebell squats. You can finally hit the depth you want to hit. With your, was that a 97 pound kettlebell you were holding?
The one I sent you yesterday was with a 66 pound kettlebell. Mm. But you know, I mean, if I had my kettlebell in here, I'd do the, you know, do the same thing. I think like the, gonna try and get my squat back up to a high number, you know, here now the next few months, just cause now I can, it's pain free, mm-hmm. Feels good.
It feels awesome just to not hurt when you go to the gym and to have an answer to your question of what the heck is wrong. And what do I need to do to fix it?
Right.
And that's just like any person in the fitness world. I don't know what I need to do. Find a group, find a coach, find someone to get your movement in, get your heart rate up. That's the easiest place for most people to start. And it's the hardest, because walking through the front door is the hardest thing for people to do when it comes to get moving. Mm-hmm. Or to get help for an injury. Getting through the front door is the hardest thing to do. Once you're there and it makes sense, that's when you can get results. If you're willing to put in the work and get the effort on clarity on your situation.
You have to think about, you know, like, how valuable is this to you? Like a life where, you know, you move well, you don't get tired, you have all the energy in the world to play with kids or go hiking when you're 60, you know, do it pain-free and, you know, like, yeah, look good, feel good, age good. We'll go to specialists for anything, right? Like, I used to work in finance, you know, it's really common to ask someone for help, you know, investing for your retirement, but it's the, you know, same thing with your body. Just not being afraid to look to people who, you know, spend their time focusing on that, thinking about that to get you the results you want. How valuable is that?
It is super valuable. I could not have a better way to end this podcast episode than that. That is definitely the headline. If anyone takes anything away from that, it is, how valuable is your body? You only get one. Are you getting enough movement in? Most people are not. And if you are not, find a group or even a coach that can help you get some movement in and move better and feel better. Kevin, I'm obviously going to put all of your information in any show notes we have. So if anyone wants to check out F45 over here in Ankeny, I will certainly put that within our show notes.
Awesome.
I appreciate you joining me. If anyone wants to check out F45 in Ankeny, I will hook you up with Kevin. They have a great facility here. It is absolutely a blast and is a ton of fun every time I come in and drop in for a workout. To everyone else listening, thanks for listening to the Rev Health Radio podcast. I'll catch you at our next episode.
Hey, real quick before you go, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and would like to share it with others, please take a screenshot and share it to your story on Facebook or Instagram, and make sure to tag Rev Health and Wellness. To stay up to date on all of our latest episodes, be sure to follow Rev Health and Wellness on Facebook and Instagram.